Okay? We'll have candy, and this is for the adults too. And if you're young, maybe we'll say like 5, 6 years old, you can just learn the parts of the armor, okay? You don't have to learn this whole thing. But if you're older, you can do it. And this is for all the adults too, okay? So we're going to say it with all together starting now. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have a sword. All right, God bless you. Go to Kids Church. Why don't we shake hands, greet one another for just a moment. All right, good morning. Good morning. If you want to find your seats, we'll get started with a couple of quick announcements. Today we're having a potluck right after service, and so you're welcome to join us. Hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully. We got enough food, so we're good. So if you forgot, you can stay anyway. Or you could quickly order some fried chicken. We always throw that out there. So run to Pizza Ranch real quick. Okay. No, just kidding. You're welcome to stick around after service for our potluck. This Friday night, we're having a men's night. We're going to do some grilling and cornhole and fun stuff. We'll have a devotion. We'll talk about Jesus. And we will apply the game of cornhole and see how it's biblical. And so that's my homework for the week. So we'll figure that one out. VBS, I think our church is doing really well registering. But if you haven't registered for VBS, please do so. We have to order t-shirts this week. So if you would like to help us, talk to me or Amanda Topp. If you'd like to volunteer, we're decorating a church, and we can use help with that. And we're doing other stuff during the week of VBS, August 4th through the 7th, if you'd like to volunteer during that. And last is the youth are planning a trip to the water park, and there's an announcement in the newsletter and all the details for that Saturday, August 2nd, right? Yeah. Okay. Today we have a guest, Keith, if you want to come up and prepare. And ushers, you could make your way forward. We're going to take up this morning's offering. This is Keith Hines. He came last week as a visitor. He's visiting mother in New Rockford. Yep. We have a lot of New Rockford folks. You could talk to him, and maybe you know her or know his family. And so this week we visited, and he leads worship in his church in Phoenix, correct? And so he's just up visiting, and he offered to do something. And so I gave him the opportunity that we could have him do our offertory special. So let's pray over our offering and be blessed by his ministry. Father God, we just love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've blessed us with. Lord, we've brought our needs before you in prayer. We worship you, God. And now we worship you in our giving. God, you've provided, and you ask us to give and provide for others, Lord. And we have so many that we support in missions and different ministries and just in the church and in our community, Lord. And so I just pray a blessing that you would help us as we do ministry here. Lord, open our eyes to see the needs around us of what we can do and how we can help and just be your hands and feet, God. And so I pray a blessing over each gift today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and the sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain. I do believe, I will believe, Jesus died for me. That on the cross he shed his blood, and now he sets me free. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. There have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me. That on the cross he shed his blood, and now he sets me free. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed hosts of God be saved to sin no more. I do believe, I will believe, Jesus died for me. That on the cross he shed his blood, and now he sets me free. So since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me. That on the cross he shed his blood, and now he sets me free. He sets me free, free indeed. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Thank you, Keith. There we go. So you have no idea what I just said. Anyway, we do believe we're going to be celebrating communion at the end of service. It's a fitting song, and some of the worship today as well. And so I'm grateful for worship today. We're going to continue in our series on the armor of God. And today we're on verse 15. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The full verses there, Ephesians 6. I feel like we just read it with all the children. But today I want to focus on verses 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, with the breastplate of righteousness, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We need to stand. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, encouraging us to stand. Put on the full armor of God, verse 13, that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, standing firm. Our stance in battle is very important. Okay, when we go into a battle, we may not do this very often, but or ever in your life do we come into a physical battle, but your stance is important. I'm kind of a sports person. I wouldn't say I'm athletic, but in sports, your stance is very important. I want to ask for a volunteer. If anyone would want to raise their hand, no, nobody? Just kidding. Todd, come on up. Okay. And why don't you stand over here for our demonstration, okay? Can everybody see Todd? Yeah, go Todd. All right. So when we're going into a battle, when we're standing, let's look at if we were standing like we normally would on an everyday basis. So when you came in to the lobby and you're talking with your friends, how do you stand when you're talking to them? Like that? Really? What if you're like sitting on the couch and your friends are on the couch and you're like leaning against the couch to talk to them, right? You're still kind of standing. How would that look? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going for, okay? Okay, but turn this way so I don't knock you off of the stage. Now do that, okay? So if you were, I don't even have to try to push you, okay? You're already falling. The point was I was going to push you like that and have you fall. So that's one way that you could stand. What's another way just in life that you might stand? I don't know, when you're relaxing, do you ever do like this sort of thing? I don't know, try that. Lean back a little bit with one leg out. Like that, there you go. And lean back a little bit like you're too cool. And then I push you, okay? Okay? So you get the idea, all right? If we're standing too relaxed or too slacked, right, and something were to come along and push, oh, you knew I was going to do that. I don't know if you caught that. I caught that right when I was about to push. He kind of leaned into me like, you're not going to push me down, right? Okay, you got to my point without me even telling it. So in football, in basketball, somewhat in baseball, okay, there's a stance that we would teach you to do. You don't want to be ready if your feet are together or if you're like this, or Levi was in T-ball. A lot of your kids were in T-ball. They're laying on the ground, playing in the dirt. Are they ready for the ball to come to them? No. Okay? If you were to do that in high school or college or professional, right, you would not be ready, okay? So a good ready stance is kind of what you're doing now. You know what I'm going to do, right? So he's like bucking up. Oh, you're not going to push me down, okay? But your feet are going to be shoulder width apart. Your knees are going to be bent a little bit, right? You're going to be ready, and your arms are going to be ready. Like most of the time, this would really be seen like in football when the two big guys in the middle, you're trying to push each other off, right? I just saw Pat. When you're wrestling, and Kelly, when you're wrestling, right, you don't stand there, okay, I'm ready, let's go, you know, I'm going to beat you, right? That's not the stance you take, okay? Your knees are bent and you're ready. So when the guy comes and pushes, wait, you're supposed to fall over pretty easy, right? Okay? Or taking you out, boom, we're going to, okay, oh, you're ready, okay? You're fighting back. Good to have a seat. Thank you very much. Give him a hand. Okay? So the same is true in our spiritual battle. If we're a Christian and we've read the word and we're trying to follow Jesus and we're giving our life to him and we're saying, I want to follow God, I'm doing this, his instruction is, you're going to be in a fight. The devil doesn't want you to follow me. He doesn't want you to be a Christian. He doesn't want you to follow Jesus. Okay? Earlier in Ephesians 6, verse 10, talks about who our enemy is. Peter tells us who our enemy is. He's a roaring lion looking who he can devour, right? If you've never heard that, you haven't been here in a few weeks, or we've talked about it before, like if that's new to you, it's true. So when you go out into the world and you're sitting here today like, oh, I do struggle sometimes because the enemy doesn't want you to live for God. So he's going to attack you. And Paul, through God, gives us these armor to armor ourselves to put on, not to sit on the locker room to continue our sports thing, right? And you go out on the football field, hey, and coaches, hey, where's your pads? Oh, I just didn't think I needed those today. I'm a pretty big guy myself, you know. No, you need your padding, right? You need your armor when you're going into the battle, okay? If we're going through our journey following the Lord, but we're slacking off, if we're sitting, waiting for the battle to come, could you imagine being in a battle and you're saying like, you know, I'll prepare like when I see the army coming, then I'll put my armor on, then I'll get up. But right now, man, I'm just kind of tired. I need to rest for a minute. No, you would never do that. Or we have to be prepared. It would be too late. We must stay ready. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 tells us to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And he's going to devour the ones that aren't ready. He's going to devour the ones that aren't armored up. Too many things. We must stand our ground. Over and over in this section of Scripture, we're told to put on the armor of God. And there's a word in there. It's the second line on the screen. That when the day of evil comes, when the evil guy, the devil, when he comes, not if he were to come, like there's a possibility that maybe he won't come, okay? God is telling us when the day of evil comes, we'll be able to stand. And after you have done everything, you can stand. After you have battled by speaking the name of Jesus, I love that worship song. When you have battled by speaking the truth of God's word, like Jesus taught us when he was tempted, the devil tried to attack him, and he spoke the word of God. We're going to talk about that. That's the sword of the Spirit. The last piece of the armor. Okay? After we have turned away from temptation, after we've battled by praying with a friend, after we've battled by getting rid of whatever the things are that are tempting us, etc., etc., etc. It says, after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Stand. Too many things knock us down and try to keep us down. We wake up on the wrong side of the bed, as the old saying goes, right? I always wake up on the same side of the bed. Sometimes I have bad days and sometimes I have good days. So I don't know where that saying came from. But something happens for a moment in our morning and it sets off the rest of our day in a bad way. We're frustrated, upset, angry, and it ruins the rest of our day. One thing goes wrong on our house, on our car. Something goes wrong at work. Someone says something, or a child does something, or a spouse says something, or a boss says something, and it ticks us off and knocks us down. A temptation pops up on the TV or on our screen, or we see friends doing something, and we think, oh, maybe I should do that. Maybe that's what the cool kids do, right? or we see an opportunity for personal gain, but it comes at a cost, etc., etc. You can add to these different scenarios. All of these things try to knock us down. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 promises that God will help us. 1 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 12, says, "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." It's common. We're just going to pause there for a second, because some of the lies of the enemy will be, you're the only one struggling like this. You're a Christian. You shouldn't be struggling with that. And here, God is telling you there's nothing new under the sun. You can read clear back in Sodom and Gomorrah, 6,000 years ago. They had the same temptations and the same sin. It's common. What has tried to overtake you is common to man. Continuing in the verse, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. This word stand, it's the theme of today. God makes a way for us to stand up under what's trying to hold us down. We can stand up under anxiety, anger, depression, lust, jealousy, greed. We can stand up under whatever that temptation is that's common to everyone. The day of evil is going to come. It probably came yesterday. It probably came this morning when you're up late at the party downtown. Okay? Small town life. We were partying in our house like a mile away because the music was so loud. But you guys had fun, so it's good. Just kidding. So, temptation that comes, that we face when the day of evil comes, can hold us down, can break us down, can overtake us. God provides a way out. So to summarize that verse, nothing you face is uncommon. And with God's help, you can stand up in the midst of the battle. How? That's where we get into the armor today. How can we stand? Because in the armor that God provides, he gives us boots, shoes, sandals, however you want to interpret what the armor of this, this description goes. There is various things that they would put over their feet. So he says, your feet are shod, whatever type of shoe that would be, okay? But he gives us those to fit over our feet with the readiness or preparation of the gospel of peace. This too was an important piece of the armor. We've kind of talked literally of what the purpose of each one was. And the shoes were not just for decoration. They weren't the best Air Jordans or whatever you try to dress yourself with. The Roman soldier wore what they would call knob-nailed sandals. They would have nails like cleats, like we would call today when you run on a field. You wear cleated shoes or spikes, okay? And so their shoes, their sandals would be kind of studded with those cleat-like spikes for gripping the ground so that no matter how slippery the ground was, they would do hand-to-hand, fighting with their swords, they wouldn't slip, okay? When we think of shoes, we think of movement, right? We wear shoes to travel, to hike, to move forward. And couple that with the inclusion in this verse of the word gospel. And as Christians, we kind of naturally think, well, this piece of the armor is for us to take the gospel out and share Jesus with others. And that's very important, and that's a responsibility of us as Christians to do. We need to tell others about Jesus, okay? But it's not exactly the meaning of this phrase that Paul used, with your feet fitted with the readiness or preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. The word for readiness or preparation is meaning a prepared foundation. Paul's point involves a preparation of our feet for standing firmly in battle. The gospel provides the footing for everything that we do. Faith in Jesus Christ, who provided salvation for mankind, restoring our relationship with God, bringing peace between us and Him, is the basics of the gospel. It's the foundation of our faith. What everything else is built on the gospel. A strong foundation is crucial to our survival. Jesus taught this concept in a parable in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He was speaking and he said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Jesus taught many times and so much, and he says, when you hear these things, and when you do them, you build a solid, a strong foundation. With a strong foundation, despite the storms of life that come, or the battles of our topic today, you will not fall, but you will still be standing. When the temptations are seemingly overtaking you, through the power of Jesus Christ, the gospel, you can stand. Ephesians 2:20, Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. You guys heard that verse. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. When a brick building is being built, it begins with a large cornerstone upon which all the other bricks are laid. And it establishes the building's orientation, the alignment and dimensions, ensuring the structure is built accurately. Following Jesus Christ orientates our life, pulling us in line with God's way. It ensures that our Christian life and our faith will be built on a strong foundation. Going back to the armor of God, the leather sandals or boots that you fit onto your feet are a prepared foundation that is produced by the peace of God found in the gospel. The phrase of this verse is interesting, the gospel of peace. And as I stated earlier, our life before Christ is not peaceful. Before Christ, our sin had caused this rift between God and us. We were enemies of God, the Bible says. Born into rebellion with no hope and lost to the world. But God wanted to restore us, okay? The gospel is the story of peace. God, out of his love for us, sacrificed his son Jesus in order for us to have peace with him. Jesus' resurrection from the dead brought justification for us before God And Jesus is called the Prince of... Whoa, you all get gold stars. If I had candy, that was quick. Man, you guys are good. Okay, he's called the Prince of Peace. Peace is what God wants for everyone. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. How? He finishes in John, this is John 14, 27, by trusting in God the Father and trusting in me. Philippians 4, 6 instructs us, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, even the situations you think you can handle on your own. We'll just throw that in there, okay? Every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's us putting our trust in God, like Jesus said for us to do. Then the next verse comes with the promise. Verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to conclude the service with communion, and we're going to celebrate the gospel of peace that we have through Jesus. But first, I want to wrap up this thought of standing our ground in the battle, taking our stance, standing firm. It's a very important concept to learn. Standing. Not cowering, not hiding, not sleeping or slacking, not being defeated, but standing victorious. At camp, I visited camp on Wednesday, and the speaker brought up the story of David and fighting Goliath. Throughout David's life, he fought different battles, but the most famous, right? We know David because of Goliath, okay? And we can learn from his stance and his preparation. And he said, I fought the lion and the bear when they would come to attack the sheep. So this uncircumcised Philistine, like, who's that? Like, this is nothing. God has prepared me. God says we're going to defeat the Philistines. Like, we're going to do it. Why are you cowering in fear? Why are you sitting back? Why are you waiting? Like, God has told us to do this. Let's do it. And so David goes, and he's prepared for the battle, and he wins. The enemy will constantly try to knock us down, but we should take heart and stand. Throughout other letters that Paul wrote to the churches of the New Testament, he's inspired by God using this term, stand. And kind of in a fun way, creative way, I guess, to however you want to call it. I want to look at some of those instances as we can use them for building blocks in our faith. If we're talking about building a foundation, some of these verses would be like a brick, a brick, a brick. For today, for our shoes of the gospel, of the preparation, we could kind of picture it as the different spikes that we're equipping our sandals with, okay? But there's instances that... in these instances, we can use these charges that are made. We can use them to grip the ground, to build our strong foundation that when we're in the fight, we're not going to get knocked over. Our feet are not going to slide. We're not going to slip. Okay? So put these into your life. And we made a slide for it. First off, in Romans 5, verse 2, we stand in grace, says our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Stand in grace. We stand in the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1. says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you have taken your stand. Stand in the gospel. That's kind of a broad way. Everything Jesus taught. We stand in courage and strength. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith, being courageous and strong. We stand in faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. We stand in freedom. Galatians 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Have you ever noticed how many times the word stand is in the Bible? Stand, stand, stand. We stand in unity. Philippians 1, 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or I only hear about you in my absence, this is Paul writing to the church, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. We stand in the Lord, Philippians 4, 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you who I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. That's following God, following Jesus, our Lord. As a bonus, this won't cost you. We just threw another verse in there. Peter has his own list telling us, we'll jump ahead to verse 8, if you possess these qualities, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, have you ever thought, man, I wish I could be more effective, more productive, but I feel like I'm falling short. I feel like I'm ineffective and unproductive. Well, Peter tells us, add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, love. It's kind of his a version of the fruits of the Spirit that should follow Christians, that should what we should be producing, right? And so we should add all of these things. We should stand in all of these things. We don't have to stand on our own. We've said that over and over. We can stand in Jesus. He empowers us. He helps us. If the worship team would come and the ushers would come forward, we'll prepare for communion today. We're going to end our service with reflection time in taking communion. If you're visiting with us today, haven't been here for communion, this is not a closed. You don't have to be a member to take communion with us, but you do need to be in the family of God. So if you're a believer, you've asked Jesus into your heart and you repented of your sins, we're doing this in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. Going back to the peace of God, Jesus, his purpose in going to the cross, his purpose in dying, his purpose in rising again, was to bridge this great divide that was between us and God. And so when we celebrate communion, when we honor him by taking communion, like he instructs us, we'll read in just a moment. When we do that, it's because he made peace an opportunity for us. He gave us the opportunity to have peace with God through his sacrifice on the cross. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we reflect on what we've learned today. In our armor that you provide us are the shoes. They're the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, that we can stand ready because of what you've done in our life, what you've restored us, what you've healed us of, God, what you've set us free from. God, and when the day of evil comes to tempt us, to try to knock us down, Lord, you've provided the gospel of peace to help us to stand and not slip. Or that we'd be able to stand up under those things that would tempt us, Lord. So today, if there's anyone here, we need to take this opportunity to make our lives right with the Lord. As I said, communion is a time of remembrance of what Jesus has done in our life as Christians and followers of Him. But if you need to repent, do so before we take communion. And you can confess your sins to Jesus. Ask Him to set you free. Ask Him to forgive. Turn from those things today. And He'll wash you white as snow. We talked about last week in the breastplate of righteousness. He'll make your life right with God.